health industry groups are expected to deliver.
If you like the plan you have, you can keep it.
To take over the healthcare system, either directly or indirectly, for the government to control it.
A lot of my friends, where they get their healthcare from is the emergency room. They're in the emergency room every week. They break a nail in the emergency room.
How are you going to avoid not having the ability to cost shift as you shrink that portion of privately funded health insurance?
We've been talking all week about health care. President Obama has this prescription for health care reform: cut the costs, keep the quality care. That's easy to say. How do you put it into practice? For answers, we're going to turn to Dr. Elliot Fisher. He is the lead investigator for the Dartmouth Atlas. That's a 20-year-plus project that examines the wide variation in Medicare use and cost across the nation. He's also a professor of medicine and the director of the Center for Health Policy Research at Dartmouth Medical School. Welcome, Dr. Fisher. The president is talking about high-quality care, below-average cost. You've actually gone out there and started comparing costs and health care outcomes, as they're called, around the country. So give us a map here. Who's getting it right? Who's getting it wrong?
Well, there are huge differences in spending on the Medicare population across the country. Patients in Miami receive about $17,000 per year in Medicare services, and patients in Minneapolis, half of that. There are dramatic differences. And most of the differences we see aren't due to the kinds of evidence-based practices that we think, that we know actually improve care. What happens to patients in the high-cost regions is they spend more time in the hospital, they're admitted more frequently, they see their physicians much more frequently, they're more likely to be referred to specialists, and they get lots more diagnostic tests and imaging procedures.
All right. You were saying, you know, that's where there are higher costs, but I'm wondering, what does that tell us about the health care outcomes? I mean, are people healthier in one area, and is that because they're getting more care or less care?
Well, there are differences in health across the country.
Yeah.
But when you control or look at patients who are similarly ill, what you see is twofold differences in spending again, but no improvement in outcomes or quality in the higher cost regions of the country. In fact, it's the opposite. The quality is a little bit worse on average in higher spending communities, and the health outcomes for the populations that live there are actually a little bit worse. If you've had a heart attack or a hip fracture in the higher spending regions of the United States, you're slightly less likely to survive for the 5 years after that event.
Wow. So what can we extrapolate from that and push to these other places in the country? In other words, if they're doing it better, cheaper somewhere, what's the takeaway?
Well, there are probably a couple of things. The high-cost communities have an awful lot of medical specialists. The lower-cost communities have many more primary care physicians, so much stronger primary care systems. And there are a few other things that are emerging from the current research. First is, it seems very important to have, you know, an organized system of care. Places like Grand Junction, Colorado, or Green Bay, Wisconsin, the physicians have come together to say, let's have a shared electronic record. Even though we're in our own individual office practices, let's work on a common record so everyone, when they come to see us, a physician can have exactly the same information, you know, about that patient. So they have a shared electronic record. They measure their performance. They compare themselves to each other, and they compare themselves to other places around the country. So they're trying to improve the quality of care they deliver to the population of patients. I mean, one of the most remarkable things for physicians is how invisible their practice is to themselves unless they step back and collect some information and look at these differences in practice.
All right, so that sounds like a systemic reform, but how likely are we to see that in the days ahead as people argue about what we're going to do with healthcare?
I think there's very strong interest in all the congressional committees in trying to help support reform of the delivery system that helps physicians provide better care and lower the cost of care, helps physicians and hospitals learn to work together. I mean, much of the public discussion over the last couple of weeks has been about cutting prices.
Mm-hmm.
But the real differences in spending and the real opportunities for improvement are in the overall quantity of care that is delivered to patients. If you cut prices, hospitals will just have to provide more of other kinds of services. We want to focus on helping groups become accountable for the overall cost and quality of care for the patients they serve. There have been some very impressive demonstrations recently run by the Medicare program that put physicians and hospitals together and then reward them for providing better care at lower cost, and those are starting to have some effect. We're expecting the legislation to include that kind of support for those kinds of changes.
I'm also wondering, are we going to see reform that actually focuses on individuals? In other words, teaching people how to talk to their physician? I think a lot of us have had the experience. You're in the room and you're supposed to explain this pain, and all of a sudden words fail you.
There certainly needs to be much better public education about a variety of things, from how to take care of yourself and keep yourself healthy, to how to communicate effectively with physicians. But I think in the current system, where most of us are experiencing the quick 5-minute visit, there isn't even time for the physician to let you finish the sentence when you walk into the office, much of the benefit from policy changes and from changing the delivery system will be allowing physicians and patients to have more time to talk together. A wonderful experiment done in Kaiser Permanente, not an experiment, but they implemented ways of communicating by email and telephone easily with your physician. And they found that, you know, about 30% of the office visits went away. That left much more time for the patients who were actually being seen and needed to be seen to talk to their physicians. They found referrals to specialists after that happened fell by 30%. Probably because patients had time to talk to their physician.
All right, now I want a different sort of prognosis from you. Every time we hear that there's going to be talk about health care reform, you sort of want to get down in the bunker and get ready for battle. What do you think it's going to look like?
Well, I'm very optimistic that we will advance the critical features of payment reform that starts to reward value rather than volume, that will help physicians and hospitals come together. I think over the next couple of months, we're going to see the usual fight between interest groups that are worried about something happening to their own personal incomes. But our research has shown that there's plenty of money in the U.S. healthcare system. And simply by slowing the growth a little bit, still allowing healthcare costs to go up, we could save all the money we need to save to help fund the cost of covering the uninsured.
All right. Thank you so much for your time. That's Dr. Elliot Fisher, professor of medicine and the director of the Center for Healthcare Policy Research at Dartmouth.
I like Dr. Fisher. He made me want to feel sick.
No, so he made you feel calm, didn't he?
So that I could be sick at the Dartmouth Medical School, and then he could come along with his bedside manner. Just listening to him made me feel so much better this morning.
I know, I know.
We've been talking this morning about the price of things, not just healthcare. And economists are saying the recession might end in the summer. Tell us how you'll know if the economy is getting better by filling in the blank. So when I see the price of blank go down, then I know that the economy is getting better, or at least it's not getting worse. Call us to fill in the blank at 877-8-MY-TAKE or send us your email at mytake@thetakeaway.org. And of course, if you've missed anything, you can also podcast us at thetakeaway.org.
I'm Catherine Lamfer.
And I'm Femi Okeh. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.